hallelujah, yes, did joy, for it is Christ I enjoy, on land or sea, what matters where Jesus is, my joy is there. Hallelujah for the vital factors of the Lord's recovery. First one is the economy of God, which implies God Himself, and especially God as the triune God. He's uniquely one, but He's mysteriously three-one. Anyway, this wonderful, wonderful truth of the economy of God is the first crucial factor. Then secondly, we see the all-inclusive Christ. And I hope this never just becomes phraseology, all-inclusive Christ, blah, 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 blah. What's next? All-inclusive Christ!
Amen.
He's so awesomely wonderful, as I was illustrating earlier, you know, if I gave Jackson this or that. But how about there's no way to describe. Inexplicable. But all-inclusive, all-extensive. Everything that we need, everything that God needs for His economy is all in this Christ.
Amen.
He's everything, all inclusive. When you have Christ, you have everything. In fact, God's economy is just Christ. The economy of God is God. God is just Christ. He's just Christ. Anyway, I love this tremendous vital factor, and I'm a very, very happy brother, because under the ministry of the age in the Lord's recovery, I've been brought to treasure nothing and no one but Christ.
Amen.
It's wonderful. The very first verse of the New Testament, what's it say? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Both Bill and I graduated from a Christian college, which is of some renown among Christians, but neither one of us ever read a footnote like the one on Matthew 1:1. Did we, Bill? Since that day, we are crazy brothers. That, you know, stand up, Bill. His last name is Hallelujah Hurst.
Hallelujah Hurst.
Amen. Matthew 1:1 and the footnote just makes it so clear. The first name in the New Testament, the last name in the New Testament is Jesus. It means the entire New Testament is a book about Jesus.
Amen.
It's about Christ. If we don't see this vital factor of the all-inclusive Christ, we'll be in this and we'll be in that. We get stuck again in all the spaghetti. May we be brought back. May the Lord recover us.
Amen.
Back to the vital factor.
Amen.
Of the all-inclusive Christ, who is everything in God's economy. He's everything. He's everything. God's desire is to really impress us with the fact that nothing counts in this universe except Christ.
Amen.
When Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3, I think 17, then there was a voice from the heavens. The Father just declared, "This is my beloved, my Son, whom I delight." Then when He was transfigured in Matthew 17, verse 5, and the disciples finally saw Him in a transfigured condition, state, they heard the speaking again of the Father. "Oh, this is my Son, this is my beloved, this is my delight, this is my favorite." This is my hobby. This is my World Series winner.
this is everything!
The father's just ecstatic because in God's economy, nothing counts except Christ.
Amen.
So we need to pay our full attention. We need to be controlled by this vision and brought into the E&E. That's not electrical engineering. But the experience and the enjoyment of this all-inclusive Christ. That's Matthew 17:5. And then in Luke 24:27, the two bummed out disciples after the death of Christ, and they're just really low, and the Lord pulls up beside them in resurrection. They were so bummed out they don't recognize Him. That's the way we are sometimes. So discouraged looking at, we don't even recognize the Lord. And then the Lord begins to speak. Oh, yeah. Anyway, He begins to speak with them. And it says He began with Moses and the prophets and all the books of the Old Testament, just opening up the whole Old Testament, showing the book is just about Him. Then they get to where they're going, Emmaus. He breaks bread, blesses it, and disappears. He vanishes. Because He's in resurrection. And then they said to themselves, they said, wow, did not our heart burn when He spoke to us on the way? And in other words, He was helping us to realize the Bible is not just a book about things and matters and events and history. The Bible is a book about Christ. They were on fire. Did not our heart burn? This weekend is that all of us would be infused with this fire of God's economy, which is altogether focused on His Son. We would be burning because of our seeing, our appreciating, and our experiencing and enjoying this wonderful Christ. Then 1 Corinthians 1:9, brothers and sisters, is a marvelous verse which says, God is faithful. Corinth had a lot of problems. They had a lot of problems. They had all kinds of problems. But the root problem they had was no oneness. No oneness. This is the root problem everywhere. You may have this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem, but the root problem is no oneness, division. And the Lord was ministered through the Apostle Paul as the unique solution to all the pollution. He said, God is faithful, through whom you were called into the fellowship and the participation, the enjoyment of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So although Paul was dealing with many, 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 many serious problems, he was busy doing nothing but uplifting, presenting, magnifying, testifying, and speaking this all-inclusive Christ to the church in Corinth as the solution to all their problems and the key to their oneness. So Corinthians is a book that shows us at least 20 items of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Anybody know? How many items are there of Christ revealed in the book of Matthew? I'll answer it for you. About 40. How many in the book of John? About 40. How many in the book of 1 Corinthians? 20. I already told you that one. It's in the footnote. How many in the book of Colossians? 12. How many in the book of Hebrews? About 35. How many in the book of Revelation? About 35 also. And other books? Also. But anyway, there's no way to adequately describe this all-inclusive Christ. He is so awesomely wonderful, all-inclusive, and the ministry uses this word in Colossians, all-extensive. He's just so wonderful. But God called us in not to the doctrine, not to the doctrine, but into the enjoyment, into the enjoyment of this Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 11. I think we should open there. We ended last message with this, but I think it's good to begin here. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. Okay. And again, I hope all of you are exercised just to do your best. The Lord is not expecting any of you to be spiritual giants. The Bible says you have a little power. And the Lord just says, do the best you can according to His grace. Jot a little asterisk here, a little point here, a little note there, so that you're ready to share, because your portion of Christ is critical.
Amen.
Okay? So what does this say? This says, let's read verse 2 and 3. Go ahead.
For
I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God. Amen.
Happiness.
Amen. So, the ministry, God's New Testament ministry, which is a ministry of the economy of God, doesn't minister anything but Christ.
Amen.
And every word of the ministry of the New Testament causes you to fall in love with Christ.
Amen.
And betroth you to Him. So this is God's desire according to His economy. We would be those every day, even in the Word, being just betrothed to Christ, falling in love with Christ, attracted to Him. And, but verse 3, I love verse 3, saints. It's, but many people miss verse 3. But I fear. Even in this conference, I fear. Paul said, I fear. As the serpent deceived Eve. And in our daily life, this is a fear. As the serpent deceived Eve through his craftiness. Then what's it say? So your thoughts. The enemy works on your mind with your thoughts. So your thoughts would be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. So praise the Lord for this conference. This conference is part of the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
To be recovered back. To be brought back to the simplicity and the purity toward Christ. Because the whole Bible unveils nothing but Christ. Then Colossians 2, 16, 17 are tremendous verses, saints. Colossians 2, it talks about eating and drinking. I mean, sometimes you get up in the morning, you have a cup of tea, and I go to Australia a lot, New Zealand, biscuit. You get biscuits 6 times a day. And, right? But, you got tea, you got this, that. Every food item, every drink item should remind us that Christ is the reality. A holiday. You know what I'm doing here? I'm on holiday. Praise the Lord. I'm having a wonderful time. I'm on holiday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Christ is our holiday.
Amen.
He's our Sabbath. He's our rest. He's our new beginning. How many of you need new beginnings? Sometimes one chapter is not too good. So every day He gets to be our new beginning. But He's the reality of every positive thing. I grew up in Pennsylvania until 1960 in the western part, you know, in Pittsburgh area. And I love Pennsylvania. I love the weather. I always love the trees. You know, and still you can see some color now. And this morning I was taking a walk. Ooh, Lord, thank you for the green. Thank you, Lord, for you're my yellow. Ooh, Lord, you're my red. Ooh, Lord Jesus, and you're the blue sky. And just all the color, everything positive in the entire universe is a shadow. pointing toward Christ as the reality. And here there's lots of nice hills and valleys. Anyway, so Colossians is a very, very rich book showing us Christ. And in chapter 3, verse 11 of Colossians, Christ is the one who is all and in all in the one new man. All of us, as God is looking at this meeting right now, God is looking at this meeting. You know what he sees? He sees one man. Apparently say, oh, I'm me. Don't touch me. I tell you, in reality, God sees one man. And Christ is all. But it doesn't mean you're annihilated. He also says he's in all. So Jackson's still here, but Jackson, in God's eyes, is just a part of Christ. Yet we still recognize Jackson. This will happen in the future, in eternity future. Anyway, Christ is all and in all. And then chapter 3, verse 4, he said, he's not only just all in all, he's the person of the one new man, but this same awesome person, it says, is our life. He's our life. He's our life. So this brings me to one of my favorite song, which is, right? 10:17. Okay, we can sing that, okay? Okay, Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me, has died upon the cross that I from Adam might be free. He has risen, a spirit he has come to live in me, that he might be my life. Now he's spreading out. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For Christ is now my love. Hallelujah! This awesome one, brothers and sisters, this awesome one who is all-inclusive is my life!
Amen.
It's the life, life, life
Amen.
That makes me want to shout!
Amen.
Hallelujah! Look at this. This is Micah Boswell. Physically, if we take Micah's life away, we take Micah away. Separate your life from you. There's no way. Okay. Life means what? Thanks, brother. Life means what? So close. Nothing can get closer than life. This all-inclusive Christ is my life! Wow. Isn't that good? Okay. Well, now this is so wonderful. This is just an introductory word, brothers and sisters. I want to show you how this Christ is everything, okay? Okay? In the great truth of God's economy, what do you have? You have triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. You have Christ. You have the Spirit. You have life. You have the church. You have the kingdom. And you have the New Jerusalem. These are all vital factors of the Lord's recovery. And this is all God's economy. But ultimately, in God's view, who is the triune God? Christ. Who is Christ? Christ. Who's the Spirit? Christ. Who's our life? Christ. Who's the church? Christ. Expanded, living in us. Who's the kingdom? It's the King, mingled with us, the dumb kingdom. And who's the New Jerusalem? Christ, consummated with His Spirit, with His people also who are consummated. So, in God's economy, Christ is everything!
Amen.
All in all, forever, only Christ will sing.
Amen.
Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything. Everybody that knows that will sing it. All in all, forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is everything. Now, saints, let's go to this outline. God's intention in his recovery is to recover Christ as everything. It's to recover Christ as the unique center of God's economy. Look at God's economy. Sevenfold aspect of God's economy. Christ is everything. And as everything to us to be our portion for our enjoyment. Amen. The Lord wants to be our enjoyment.
Amen.
And those verses are very good from Colossians. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Brothers and sisters, don't try to be qualified. Just thank the Father. Through the death of Christ, you have been qualified.
Amen.
Qualified for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Praise the Lord, I'm qualified.
Amen.
To enjoy Christ as my portion. You know, growing up in sports, you know, you grow up, and that's your portion. You know, you're just portioning. You're stuck to sports, and it's just your joy, and you know, and you smash somebody and you win and your team, and you see teams that win and people are jumping on people. The stack is about 8 deep. Nobody cares about anything. And you know, they're just crazy. But I tell you, I'm on the best team. This team is undefeated. Oh, hallelujah! I tell you, if we see the truth, we will be beside ourselves. Beside ourselves. If we see this all-inclusive Christ, we will not wait to win the World Series so that we're happy. Well, the World Series has been won. He just needs us to enjoy. We need to see the truth of who he is, what he's accomplished, all he's obtained, all he's attained. We will be very, very happy people. So Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father. Thank you, Father. Even though the day... maybe my body is not feeling strong, but I thank you, Father. I have a share of the allotted portion. Paul was in prison. The circumstances were lousy. But he was in there thanking the Father. Because of his enjoying Christ as his God-allotted portion, it resulted in jail for the first church in Europe. To be raised up. People got saved just because they were enjoying their God-allotted portion. So then 1 Corinthians 1:9 again, wow, hallelujah, God is faithful. I'm unfaithful. The faithful God has called these unfaithful people. Tell your neighbor, the faithful God has called the unfaithful you. And that's me too. A faithful God called us unfaithful people. Into the enjoyment and participation. Into the heavenly participation. Party. The Lord's trying to train us how to party. We're in the best fraternity in the universe. Amen. We're on the winning team. We have an undefeated player coach who lives in our spirit. Anyway. So saints, this is this wonderful one who's the center of God's economy is our portion. Our portion. Our portion. Portion means something you can enjoy. Don't you like the word portion? Ooh. And I remember driving down the streets of Jakarta, Indonesia one time a couple years ago. And they had a huge sign. It's the biggest sign I've ever seen of a McDonald's. And a McDonald's, and it was a Big Mac or something. And I don't know, it just made you want to eat that thing. But I tell you, when you see this Christ, you just cannot. He is so delightful. He's our portion. Okay. A, the dictionary in the Lord's recovery has only one word. Christ! How big is the dictionary in the Lord's recovery? It's huge. It goes through the entire universe. It's the biggest book in the universe, but there's only one word in it. Christ. This book only contains one word, Christ. In God's dictionary, only one word, Christ. Satan has everything you can imagine. And all of them mean nothing. They're all going to the lake of fire. But God has only one word, Christ. Hallelujah for the heavenly dictionary. There's only really one word in the Bible, Christ. What's that word, Tade? Amen. That's testifying Tade. Amen. He testifies Christ. It is not the goal of the Lord's recovery to recover doctrine or theology. Saints, I have a relative very close. Because of him, it helped me to become a Christian. But he went away, touched liberal theology, ended up getting 6 degrees. He's been a professor at Columbia for 40 years. But because of what happened at a seminary, one of his 6 degrees, cemetery, he didn't see Christ as the portion, just got into theology and eventually had doubts about everything. What a shame. What a mercy to be in the Lord's recovery. To be brought back to the revelation into the enjoyment of Christ. So it's the goal of the Lord's recovery to recover, not to recover doctrine or theology. It's to recover Christ as the unique husband for us to love. Amen. That's why the next time you go to a bank teller and they say, how are you doing? Just tell them, I'm doing great. You know why? They like to know why. Because I love the Lord Jesus. Amen. Bill Lawson, he's going to do that the next time he goes to the bank. She's going to say, how are you doing today? He's going to say, great. You want to know why?
She's, oh, I love the Lord Jesus.
Yeah, look at that, look. She'll say, ooh. They never met anybody like that. You ever heard a Mormon or Jehovah Witness say that? You ever heard them sing? No, it's lifeless. Hallelujah for love. He's the unique husband for us to love. So he's very jealous that we would love him. I'm not here just to give a good message. I'm not here just to get through this meeting. I'm here to love him.
Amen.
I don't want to miss one moment of loving him.
Amen.
The main thing he cares about more than anything is our intimacy with him.
Amen.
If we miss the intimacy, we miss everything. This all-inclusive Christ eventually is our husband for us to love. So everything we see about Christ should cause us to love him more. Now, Roman numeral 2 is, we divided this message into two sections, so we'll go just part today, this morning, and in part tonight. The revelation of Christ's person and work in the Bible from eternity past on the bridge of time and into eternity future is exceedingly rich and profound. Could you read Colossians 2 just for a second? Colossians 2, verse 2, Christ is called the mystery of God. Then in verse 3, let's read verse 3, Colossians 2, 3 together with a strong spirit, okay? In whom all the
treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden.
In whom all the treasures. You name the treasure, it's all in him. They're all hidden in Christ. Now, Christ, now this is all, look at this Roman numeral 2. It's all related to the revelation of Christ's person and work in the Bible from eternity past on the bridge of time and into eternity future. It's exceedingly rich. Exceedingly rich and profound. A Christ is Jehovah, the triune God. the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All these verses indicate who Christ is in his person. When you have Christ, when you have this person, you have the Father, you have the Son, you have the Spirit. Isaiah 9:6 says, unto us a child is born, and then it says his name will be called the Eternal Father. Eternal Father. The Son is called the Father. Well, you're not called the Father unless you are the Father. So, when you have Christ, you have the Father. You have the Son. And then, 1 Corinthians 15:45b and 2 Corinthians 3:17. I think all of us should really enjoy these verses. How about we read 2 Corinthians 3:17? Many of you maybe have not read this verse, but this is really wonderful. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Yeah, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord is the
Spirit.
The Lord is the
Spirit.
Doesn't say he's just related to, or he'll bring you, or he'll give you something called the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. He is the Father, he's the Son, he's the Spirit. This is the very person of Christ, from eternity past, even. This wonderful Christ is the wonderful Christ who is the Father, the Son, the Spirit. He's the embodiment of the entire triune God. Amen. Now, in B, in the divine economy, he is the portion of the saints, the one who is. So, A stresses his person as the triune God. B stresses this person is our portion. I like the P. The person is for our portion. He's the triune God for our portion. A good verse is 2 Corinthians 13:14, which many years I only heard it as a, closing of a meeting? Benediction, yeah. Benediction, you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And all we were happy was that the meeting was over. We knew that was the end. But it meant nothing. But when you see the revelation of Christ, wow, the grace of the Lord Jesus,
amen,
the love of God,
amen,
and the fellowship, the flowing ship, the reaching ship, the application ship, and the mingling ship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Father embodied in the wonderful, wonderful Son as grace is realized and applied to us and painted into us and saturates and soaks us as the wonderful fellowshipping Spirit.
Amen.
And the Bible ends with this revelation of this wonderful person. Look at Revelation 22:1. Revelation 22:1. And everybody that has it, how about we read it? Just go ahead. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and
street.
Amen. So you have the river, which is the Spirit. You have the Lamb, which is the Son. You have the throne of God, God the Father. The triune God is not for doctrine. He is for our experience and our enjoyment. So, the main thing here in letter A is the person of the triune God is he's the triune God. He's uniquely one, but mysteriously three-one. Then, the letter B is so that this one who is in his person, the triune God, can be practically our portion. He can be our portion. So, he's our God allotted portion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's our wonderful God allotted portion. And he's triune for distributing and dispensing himself. That's why he's triune. He's uniquely one in his essence. He's mysteriously three-one for his economy, for his dispensing. Thank the Lord. He's the Father, the Son, the Spirit, so that he could, as the source with all the riches, reach us as the Spirit and be realized and enjoyed by us. Amen. When we enter into this one, this person who is our practical portion, our whole life is revolutionized. Amen. Hallelujah. So our life is different. Our life is different because we have not only this person, but this person becomes our portion. Now see, in creation, he is the Word through whom all things came into being and all things were created in him. All things were created in him. Okay. Through him and unto him. This means what? In him means he is the intrinsic power. Through him means he's the active instrument. Unto him means he's the ultimate recipient. And there's somewhat in the footnotes of Colossians. And this is a verse. Everything was created in him, through him, and unto him. So that's really why it's good. Brothers and sisters, the whole earth testify this wonderful Christ. I love the story. I go to Africa often. And I think the part of Africa that I've gone to the most probably is West Africa. And it's in that area where I think this transpired around 1900. Some missionaries, Christian missionaries, went there. They got into the situation. They didn't know the language well. They got perfected in a dialect of a particular tribe. When they felt competent enough to speak the gospel, they did. After they spoke the gospel to the tribe, some of the tribal leaders said, "We already believe in him." And they said, the missionaries were befuddled. What do you mean you already believe in? Said, "We already believed in him before you told us this, but we didn't know who he was." And they received Christ. I love that story. And they said, "Why did you believe in him?" They said, "We saw him in creation. All creation preaches the gospel 24 hours a day. I tell you, every day there's babies being born. Every little baby's a miracle. Am I right? Every little baby's a miracle. Trees, everything. And you know, why doesn't, we don't collapse? The earth just keeps going in this orbit. And, you know, there's so many things in this universe that just testify Christ. So these people in Africa receive Christ. Because they realized he was the source of all that they saw. They saw the visible gospel. So they believed eventually in this wonderful one. Now D, in his incarnation, he brought the... So we have in eternity past his person, and then who he is as the person, he's our portion. Then in creation, he's the Word through whom everything came into being. Now D, in his incarnation... In his incarnation, he brought the infinite God into the finite man to unite and mingle the triune God with the tripartite man. Brothers and sisters, he is the complete God and he is the perfect man. When you touch Jesus Christ, you touch the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and you touch a flawless man. Impeccable. Pilate, the evil ruler, political leader at that time, he checked him out and he told everybody, "I find no fault in him," and the Greek says, "not one." Can anybody say that about you? Not about me either. Flawless, faultless, impeccable, perfect man. So he's the complete God and the perfect man. Let's read 1, 2, 3 under D. He is God manifested in the flesh. He is Jesus and Emmanuel.
He is the second man.
Praise the Lord! Saints, he's the second man. God, the creation of the first man, Adam, was a failure. So, he was helpless, hopeless. But thank the Lord, there is a second man.
Amen.
This second man is the complete God, the perfect man. This man expresses God.
Amen.
When he moves, his movement expresses God. Amen. Every word he speaks expresses God.
Amen.
Every decision he makes expresses God.
Amen.
Everything he does expresses God. Every thought he thinks expresses God. This is the second man. How about we shout, hallelujah for the second man.
Hallelujah for the second man.
Wow, he's the second man. He's the last Adam, which means on the cross. That first man, Adam, was terminated, cleared up. Hopeless, helpless Adam was finished. Hallelujah for the second man.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, this second man is just so awesome. He's the mingling of the triune God with a tripartite man. Let's look at E. Let's read E 1 and 2 together. Go. He expressed in his humanity the bound of one, E 2. This wonderful one in his incarnation brought the infinite God into the finite man to unite and mingle. And then in his human living, he expressed humanity, in his humanity, the bountiful God and his rich attributes. Somebody tell me, Genesis 1:26. Let's make man. Good enough. That's good enough. So, God needed a man to express him and represent him. Right? Praise the Lord, there is a man. There wasn't a man then, but now there is a man. God needed a man to solve the problem of the devil and to fulfill his economy for his expression. And this is the man. By incarnation and by his human living, he is this man.
Amen.
He's a faithful witness, brothers and sisters. I love faithful witness. Revelation 1:5, he's the faithful witness. Faithful witness means no matter what he did, no matter what he did, he witnessed or testified God. No matter how he interacted with people, no matter what he did, if he shook hands with somebody, God shook hands with him. Whatever he did, whoever he looked at, whatever behavior, everything he did expressed God. He fulfilled God's original intention. So the Lord's recovery is to recover us back to this awesome, all-inclusive Christ who was incarnated and also in his human living was expressing the bountiful God and his rich attributes. Saints, I love Matthew 19. I don't remember exactly the verses, maybe 8 or something like that, but Matthew 19, maybe 13 and 14. See, the disciples were with Jesus, and there was a bunch of little kids wanting to, you know, and parents wanting Jesus to touch those kids and bless the kids, and the disciples are saying, get those kids out of here. You know, just kick them out. And the Lord said, let the little children come to me. He put his hands on them. And he shepherded not only the kids, but he shepherded the parents. And he also perfected the disciples. But people were just in awe at his love for humanity. I love Luke 2. Luke 2, verses, I don't know, something like 41 to 52. Anyway, Jesus is 12-year-old, and in the different editions, different translations, it makes it clear Jesus is referred to as the boy. He's the boy. There's no boy like the boy. He is the boy. The boy. I love the boy. But 12-year-old, the boy. And there he was, 3 days, away from his family who were on this journey. He finally realized what happened. They went back to find him. His mother scolds him and screams at him. And what are you doing? He says, don't you know, Mom? I need to be taking care of the father's business. And his mom didn't recognize who he was. And he could have screamed at his mother and said, Mom, you big jerk, don't you realize who I am? I mean, you're the most dumb parent I've ever met in my life. And don't you know I'm God? Don't you know I'm the Son of God? But he didn't. But it says eventually, but when they found him, when they finally found him, it says in the outbuildings of the temple, they found the boy. It said he had the PhD religious leaders in a state of mental imbalance at the kind of answers he was giving them. They were asking him all kinds of questions. He had them in a state of mental imbalance. And the expression he had came uniquely from God himself. That was the boy. Then the boy became submissive to them and was completely obedient, continually obedient to them in every way. This is the boy. Don't you like Luke 4? Luke 4 is the devil tempted him 3 times, and every time it's like a 3-round boxing match. You know, round one, boom! Devil says, throws his punch, turn these stones into bread. The Lord has a golden glove. That means his humanity is full of divinity. The Lord just said, man shall not live by bread alone. Bonk! Put the devil in the corner, give him smelling salts. Round two. But every round, this God-man just thoroughly defeated the devil. Hallelujah! Hallelujah for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God-man Jesus. Now let's go F. Let's read F in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Go.
He died as the bronze serpent. He died as the last Adam. He died as the firstborn of He died as the peacemaker. He died as the grain of wheat.
Praise the Lord for his wonderful death. Amen. So this wonderful Christ, see his person and work in all the different aspects. Eternity past, in creation, in his incarnation, in human living, and now in his all-inclusive death. It's so good to see all these details of the all-inclusive Christ from all these angles. Saints, don't you love it? He died as the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Not just the sin that Chris has. Chris has a lot of sin. Right?
Yeah.
I tell you, if all of us are honest, we would all say, I have no idea how much sin I have. I have no clue. It's beyond what I realize. Anyway, he takes away not just one person's sin, but the sin of the world. By one death, he cleans up the entire universe. That is huge. Okay, then as a man in the flesh, then as the bronze serpent, then the last Adam, then the firstborn of all creation, peacemaker and a grain of wheat. Now look at these 7. I hope you would appreciate this. Then we'll move on. Look at, when he died, he took out of all these negative things. Number one, the Lamb, he took care of sin. All sins. When God looks at Spencer, he says, Spencer, I do not remember one negative thing about you at all. You have zero negative history. That's awesome. Then, number two, he died as a man in the flesh. And this is to deal with flesh. Brothers and sisters, we are troubled by the flesh all the time. Okay, number three, because of time, he died as the bronze serpent. That's to deal with serpent, the Satan, The bronze serpent is in the likeness of Satan, who's a serpent.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Apparently, Satan thought he was terminating Christ by putting him on the cross. Actually, Satan had put himself into a mousetrap, and when the Lord breathed his last breath, the trap came down. Boom! Right on Satan's head!
Right.
Satan was sweating bullets when the Lord was dying, because he realized what he, by getting into the flesh, and then the Lord crucifying flesh and becoming in the likeness of the flesh of sin and the bronze serpent, he destroyed Satan.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Now you say, well, how come Satan's still so active? This is what we do. We stand on the truth. As believers, we believe the truth. Eventually, this will be realized in a total way in the universe for eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen!
So this is wonderful. So then, fourthly, he died as the last Adam. Adam could never express God, never represent God. So the Lord terminated that hopeless, helpless race. And then as the firstborn of all creation, even all creation has been polluted by the fall of man and the rebellion of Satan. So the Lord in his death terminated the whole thing.
Amen.
So that he could have a new creation. Bring a new creation out of the old creation. And then he died as the peacemaker. Brothers and sisters, wow. Peacemaker means oneness. Oneness is the most flyaway thing in the whole universe. There's no oneness anywhere. Everybody's trying to find oneness. It's elusive. But he died as the peacemaker so that we could have oneness with God and oneness with each other.
Amen.
No matter what background we come from,
Amen.
We are one.
Amen.
Because of our peacemaker Christ.
Amen.
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 And as a grain of wheat, not only did he die, but he released the divine life that allows us to all become his increase, to become his reproduction, to be the expansion of Jesus. Oh, what an awesome death. Saints, let's read G together, all the points. Go. Amen. Amen. He became the life-giving
spirit.
Amen. Saints, his death and his resurrection are just too awesome. Let me just say one more word about his death. All these details, from the Lamb of God down to the grain of wheat, all of these, I actually, my experience is, my greatest joy every day, one of my greatest joys every day is in the morning enjoying him as all my offerings. I have no way to be freed from sin, but I enjoy the Lamb. No way to get out of the flesh, but I enjoy the man who dealt with the flesh. I have no way to be freed from the devil, but I enjoy the one who crucified the devil. No way to get away from hopeless, helpless Adam, but I enjoy the one who is my offering, terminated Adam. I have no way to be freed from the influence of dying creation. But hallelujah, I'm freed by Christ as my offering. I have no way to be one with the Lord, no way to be one with you, except by enjoying and identifying with Christ my peace offering.
Amen.
Amen. So Ricky and I are one.
Amen.
Not because we're of the same disposition, or we live in the same place, or we talk the same language. It's because of Christ the peacemaker.
Amen.
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 And listen, wow, we are full of life.
Amen.
I enjoy Christ as our offerings. When we enjoy Christ as the wonderful offerings, then you become a person who is full of life. The multiplication of Christ.
Amen.
I've seen many brothers and sisters who didn't appear to be that important outwardly, but when they died, their death just was like a grain of wheat, causing life to spring up everywhere. Life to spring up everywhere. There is a dear sister the other day called my wife. My wife and I called her. We've been very close to them for years. She's 94. And they just had their 70th wedding anniversary. And Bonnie and I called her. Her health is failing, and she may be going right now. Because just in the last few days, there was a real attack of, I think, cancer in her liver. She's very weak. She lives over in a kind of a remote part of California near Nevada. And she and her husband, we called her the other day, and I tell you, the life out of that little grain of wheat just supplied us. As soon as she heard us, our voice, she has her very weakness, but she, oh, praise the Lord! Amen! It's so good to hear you! I was just thinking about you, and I've been praying for you every day, and going on and on, and she said, we've been married 70 years, and even at one point he wanted to divorce me, but by the Lord, mercy! We're together, you know, and she said, what else should I pray for? Just tell me a few things. And she just said, I better go now. But we just said, praise the Lord. She said, praise the Lord! You know, and she's just beside herself. My wife and I just got so much life from that little grain of wheat. And she'll probably fall into the ground any day. But she's an overcomer. She is an overcomer. And so many have gotten life from her. Anyway, it's because she's been one with Christ, who is the reality of all these precious offerings. Then look at G. Saints' resurrection. She's one with a resurrected Christ. Hallelujah! He's first. He's resurrected. He came out of the grave. He's the first fruit to God. Mm-hmm. God just wanted to eat him. Mary wanted to hold on to him. But the Lord said, let go. I'm going to eat him. Anyway, he's the first fruit that he might have the first place in all things. And then, saints, these three points are awesomely wonderful. He was designated in his humanity to be the firstborn son of God, the head of the body. This is Romans 1:3. Matt, would you lay on the floor, please, on your back? Okay. There's Matt. This is Jesus. He was terminated, crucified, put in the grave. Apparently, he's in the grave, but it says in 1 Peter 3, he went in the spirit of his divinity into the regions of death and Hades, had a three-day conference, preaching to all the former co-workers of the devil and whatever, announcing to them their leader had been defeated by a man.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Amen. After three-day invigorating conference, it says he came back, his spirit of divinity invaded his body, and you could just calmly get up. He didn't jump out like, Superman out of a phone booth. Thank you, brother. But and he just walked days of death in Hades. Is that all you have? Goodbye. Hallelujah! He was designated in his humanity. At that moment, his humanity was designated divinity. This man officially is God!
Amen.
So, resurrection was his official designation of his humanity. This man is God. Announcement to the whole universe. In case you didn't get the point, here's the announcement. And then he imparted the divine me into the believers for their regeneration to make them the members of his body. Saints, 2,000 years ago, the Lord regenerated us even before we were born. One time my wife and I were praying. We had six single sisters living in our house. One sister said, oh, can we pray for my dad? So my wife and I were praying with her for her dad. We were just praying, oh, Lord, remember her dad's part of this family? Save him, you know. And we had just been in a conference about 1 Peter 1:3, which says, blessed be the God who has regenerated us. According to his mercy, has regenerated us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So while we were praying for this sister's dad, the Lord just reminded us, her dad got regenerated 2,000 years ago. Believe it.
Amen.
So we began to speak, Lord, thank you. You regenerated him.
Amen.
Then the Lord reminded me of my own dad, who had rejected me when I talked to him in 1958 when I got saved. And he just said, no, don't leave me alone. Anyway, my sister called. We started to pray for my dad. About a week or so later, my sister called from Florida and said, guess what? Dad got saved. So by the by his resurrection from the dead, we got regenerated.
Amen.
Got new genes.
Amen.
These genes determine who you're going to look like. Who you're going to be like. Who you're going to express. Just like Christ. Then lastly, he became the life-giving spirit to be the content and reality of the body. So brothers and sisters, if he had not gone through these processes, he could, listen to this, he could only be life to himself. But because he was processed and consummated and became the life-giving spirit, he can be life to me!
Amen.
So turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah, neighbor, he is life to me!
Amen.
Praise the Lord for his resurrection!
Amen.
So this is his awesome, awesome person and work. Starting with eternity past, now taking us through resurrection. What a wonderful Christ we have. I believe just these few points this morning causes us to fall in love with him more. So, brothers and sisters, tell your neighbor exactly what you enjoyed, one or two sentences. Okay? Go.